Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's... Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. I'll say that prematurely, but nonetheless, have a great holiday. Today's show, not in preparation for the holiday, but today's show to be put in your memory banks and never forgotten. The title of today's show, Stop Sugar, Kill Cancer, The Hard Science of the Warburg Effect. As always, I'm going to dig through the science for you, try to simplify it as much as I can. I know some of you, well, you kind of get headaches because I get so technical sometimes, but you really got to ask yourself what health is about. And in the trenches with it for many years, I will tell you that health is about when things don't go your way, you have to change your lifestyle. You have to get compliant with new health patterns that, well, maybe you find rather difficult, giving up things that you like, giving up what we've unfortunately developed as the American way of life. And it's not easy to do. And because rather than really change lifestyle, what we like to do is believe that some herbal remedy is going to come to the rescue, or a series of herbal remedies or quick fix detoxifications are going to show us the other way, the other side, back to radiant health, freedom from disease, because we really want to believe that. What we don't do is change lifestyle. And I can tell you, I wished it were that way too. My life would be much easier if we could suggest an herb or something simple to give you the radiant health you're looking for, especially when you have serious health concerns. I never found that to be the case. What I found to be the case is you have to go through and be willing to embrace a radical series of lifestyle changes. And I mean radical. When you're sick, you have to go radical. Now, why I do shows like Stop Sugar, Kill Cancer, The Hard Science Behind the Warburg Effect, is because there's so much quick fix remedy out there. And there's so much nonsense that collectively, when you're in the trenches with a real serious health concern, all the time, all the money, all the energy you spend in a month or two or three or six, you start spinning in circles. Now, some people, fortunately, will never know what I'm talking about, because it's easy to dabble in the holistic arts. You try a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's kind of fun. You listen to claims made about herbal remedies and detoxifications, and you comfort yourself in that sense that, well, you're protected from all these things that can happen after 50 or 60. You're not going to get sick because you cleanse your liver, this kind of thing. And you're never going to know what I'm talking about. But those of you who have succumbed to disease, who have symptoms that won't go away, who have your lifestyle interrupted, do know what I'm talking about. And what I'm talking about is there's so much stuff out there. You spin and you spin and you spin and you spin. And in the end, you don't know how to appropriate your time, you don't know how to appropriate your money, and you don't know how to appropriate your energy, because there's so much everybody's telling you to do. This is why I do my show. Because, and here's my point, watching you saunter through these various calamities, watching you over the years, the issues are you don't really understand why you're doing what you're doing. If you're that person in the audience today that says, look, I don't really want to understand it with detail because I'm too busy and I just want to know what to do. This is a lie. It's a lie you tell yourself, and you're not guilty. But it doesn't work because when you're asked to make radical changes in your lifestyle, you have to know why you're doing what you're doing. Everybody knows sugar is not good for you. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows somewhere along the line, sugar and tumors, cancers, other serious diseases are implicated with each other. Everybody kind of knows that, but do you really know it? You see, this is the thing. If you looked at all the people in America today dealing with serious disease, we'll focus on cancer today. How many of them dead start in the beginning, right from day one, give up sugar? I mean, not just sugar, bring the blood sugar down to 70 or 80. Live with blood sugar 70, 80. Really knock it between the eyeballs. It's next to nobody. And why is that? Because you don't really know why you have to give up sugar. And this is where you have to meet me halfway. Because I'm going to get technical today. Like I often do, but I'm going to make it simple technical. Because many of us, unfortunately, have this idea that science is so highfalutin and complicated with $10 words that really mean nickel things that you can't really understand why you have to do what you have to do. If you can't understand why you have to do what you have to do, you're never going to do it. And that's why I do my show this way. So today's show, Stop Sugar, Kill Cancer, The Hard Science Behind the Warburg Effect, Otto Warburg. If you can, amen, get to the website. Please get to the website. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com, straighttalk.cc, and follow with the pictures if you possibly can. If you're driving and you can't, it's you're new to the show, welcome. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. There are few shows like this in America, very few shows on AM radio in America. I'm not selling anything. I'm asking you to learn. And we need to learn. So let's go. Show 287. 5 years of shows. People listening all over the world, doctors listening everywhere. Let's keep doing this. Stop Sugar, Kill Cancer, The Hard Science of the Warburg Effect. All right. First minor headache or minor joy for you is to understand what we mean by glycolysis. So if you can, go to picture number two. Everybody out there in radio land has heard the word ATP. ATP, adenosine triphosphate. ATP catalysts. We sell supplements to people. I don't. But out there, your health food stores, so on and so forth, you have supplements for sale. And they'll say ATP catalysts, Krebs cycle catalysts. They'll sell things like NADH. They'll sell things like SOD. And all these are $10 words for parts of the machinery of what we call glycolysis all the way to oxidative phosphorylation. There's a process in the body you've got to get hip to. And what it means is your cells to do what your cells need to do. So I'm talking to your brain cell and your heart cell and your kidney cell and your liver cell and your pancreas cell and your bone cells and your skin cells and your muscle cells and all the cells of your body. For your cells to do what they have to do, they have to suck in a certain amount of glucose. That's right. The bad stuff, glucose, which is the good stuff in regulated quantities. Your cells have to suck in glucose and go through some intergalactic process where they spit out ATP. Glucose becomes ATP. That's called the cell energy in a nutshell. To make the process efficient, whereby you suck in glucose and you spit out ATP, And that ATP is the currency of the cell. It's the dollars and cents of the cell. It's what makes the machine run. With enough ATP, then your cell can do its job and repair itself. It can do its job and repair itself. So ATP is money. And the substrate, the foundation upon which the money is made, is called glucose. And the efficiency through which glucose translates to ATP, well, that's called the cell energy. Is it efficient? Can you take in glucose and spit out as much currency as possible so the cell can do what the cell's supposed to do, specific to the organ, and then have leftover change to repair itself? Now, you can get that. I don't care if you have a second grade education. You can understand this. I don't care if you barely understand English. You can understand this. There's nothing complicated about what I just said. It's because I'm the teacher you wanted to have when you were taking science. Believe me, I am that teacher. Go to picture number two, those of you who can. It says glucose in and pyruvate out. Glucose in and something else on the bottom called pyruvate. Not ATP, pyruvate. The first step inside the cell after it sucks glucose in is to make something called pyruvate. Now, go to picture four if you can. If you can, go to picture number four. Those of you driving, just understand, suck the glucose in, spit out pyruvate. Pyruvate's just another molecule. It goes into a process in the mitochondria. And you've heard about mitochondria. It's a little factory within the cell that's the energy powerhouse. I mean, you can listen to people all the time on radio selling supplements to enhance my mitochondrial output, to help repair damaged mitochondria, that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. And if you down this specialized supplement, boom, your mitochondria are going to pump out way more ATP. You've heard about this. Lots of radio stations advertise all sorts of stuff about how the mitochondria can be supercharged so you can make more ATP, and you know this. So this is nothing new. The moment you convert sugar on its way to ATP, stopping at pyruvate, that pyruvate molecule goes into a cycle inside the mitochondria called the Krebs cycle. And there in picture four are all the steps of the Krebs cycle. It's a cycle. Pyruvate gets converted to acetyl-CoA. That's not in the Krebs cycle. It's somewhere else, but I'm skipping that. The pyruvate from the glucose gets converted to the acetyl-CoA. And the acetyl-CoA goes into a cycle that goes round and round and round and round. That's called the Krebs cycle or the citric acid cycle. It was discovered by a guy named Dr. Krebs. Or worked out in terms of mechanism by Dr. Krebs. I think he got the Nobel Prize for it. It was another huge day in science. It happened a long time ago. And everybody in science studies the Krebs cycle, which is now called the citric acid cycle for whatever reason. We like to give things a lot of names, right? That makes your life tougher, but that's the way it works. Everybody puts their name on it, so everything's got 50 names, all right? And it varies from country to country. All right, so glucose goes into the cell, gets converted to pyruvate, that gets converted to acetyl-CoA, and that acetyl-CoA gets thrown into the Krebs cycle in the mitochondria of the cell, and the Krebs cycle goes round and round and round and pops out something called NADH, which we sell as a supplement, and pops out FADH2 also. So these little moieties, these little chemicals pop out of the Krebs cycle. Now this is where it gets fascinating. That NADH and that FADH2 go into another place in the mitochondria also, into a process called oxidative phosphorylation. Oxidative, those of you who can, go to picture 11. We take the stuff made in the Krebs cycle, NADH and FADH2, nicotine adenine dinucleotide, NADH and FADH2, products of the Krebs cycle, we throw it into oxidative phosphorylation. That's another chain reaction, otherwise known as the electron transport chain, right? Everything's got 2 to 20 different names. And you're not getting a headache, because all you have to remember is glucose in converts to pyruvate, converts to acetyl-CoA. That goes into the Krebs cycle, pops out NADH, a supplement sold on every health food shelf. FADH2 also, that goes into the oxidative phosphorylation chain, and out pops ATP. Now, there it is. There it is, glucose to ATP. You just learned 4 years of science in 10 minutes. I'm not kidding. You can fill in the colors later. When you study biochemistry, you have to repeat the cycle. You have to know it inside out with all sorts of little caveats about it. But in essence, that's what it's about. Now, the next question is this an efficient cycle? And that's something you got to wrap your brain around. Efficiency. Well, we all know what efficiency is. When you have a good day, right, at work, you put a little work in, a little energy, a little headache, a little time, and sometimes you go, wow, I got everything done today. I'm efficient. And then, of course, they give you a lot more work to do because you're efficient. And, of course, the idea is to squeeze you dry and make you run at maximum efficiency, meaning we bury you with work and then we beat you with a chain to make sure you produce. That's what you call corporate management policies. We treat our animals better. Okay, I'm not going to go there, but you know what I mean. But you know what efficiency is about. Efficiency is how much do I have to put in to get out what I want to get out. And when you say you're efficient, it means for a little bit of input, you get a lot of output. Well, cell energy, glucose to ATP, is also subject to efficiency. Does the process work efficiently? Yes or no? How efficient? For instance, heavy metals, okay? What heavy metals do, see, if you understand the basics, if you just labored through a little bit of basic and looked at the pictures, went to the archives and listened to the show again, now we can have a real conversation. Now you don't have to be a low information voter. Now I can say stuff like, you know what happens with heavy metals? Heavy metals interfere with oxidative phosphorylation. Mercury binds up electrons in the oxidation cycle. And so if mercury or the other metals are high, you don't pump out as much ATP, and that process becomes less efficient. And there's a lot of other things like that. Little side note. But I can say that now because you understand oxidative phosphorylation. Okay. So metals don't make the process efficient. Now we're going to get to the guts of the matter here. Sugar, cancer. Why you can trust that cancer doesn't like sugar. Why, if you've got it, I don't care what therapy you're in. You're waiting to have the tumor cut out. You're going to do chemo. Whatever you're up to. Not even discussing this. Not getting into that. Just telling you. You got cancer. Get off sugar. Because there's hard science behind the things I'm going to say today. I might not be able to say that about pH. Yeah, how do you like that? I might not be able to say that about pH. I might not be able to say that about oxygen. Cancer doesn't like oxygen. Oxygenate your bodies. Go to the health food store and do wheatgrass juice implants and buy tons of chlorophyll and flood your body with oxygen because cancer doesn't like oxygen. You know what? It may mean nothing We don't have very hard science behind that claim. And this is what I mean. It's all a lot of fun until you have a tumor. It's all a lot of fun until you have a tumor and you need to wait to get what you need to get. Maybe it's a new form of chemo. Maybe it's a new form of chemo that can knock that tumor out. Maybe you need it, but maybe you can't get it. Maybe it's going to take time to qualify for the trial for the new drug. Maybe you have to go out of the country and that takes time. And maybe you need to minimize growth of your cancer in the meantime. I would bet on giving up sugar. I would bet on bringing my blood sugar down low. Why? Well, you're going to understand by the end of the show. All right, I feel you. I feel you doing well here today. Just takes a little patience, the right attitude. Okay, let's keep going. Now, let's go to another part here. Let's go to picture number 14. Go to picture number 14. Picture 14 is going to make a distinction between how your body makes ATP when you've got lots of oxygen available and your glucose, and you go into the Krebs cycle, oxidative phosphorylation, and pump out lots of ATP. In the normal physiology of your body, optimal, of the normal human body, we say, that sugar to ATP in the optimal ideal form is called aerobic, air like air, fresh air, aerobic glycolysis. We say there's two types of sugar conversions, aerobic glycolysis and anaerobic glycolysis. We say you make energy, ATP, two ways, aerobically and anaerobically. And the efficient one, the one you want to do, is aerobic, which means you want lots of oxygen and you want lots of glucose. And you want to make your ATP because it's very efficient. For a little bit of glucose, you get a lot of ATP. And then your cells can be happily, merrily roll right along the path and do what they want to do and have enough extra reserve to repair themselves. Now, when you're out there pumping iron and you start breathing hard or sprinting up the hill and you start breathing hard and you can't get enough oxygen to your cells because the demand you place on the cell is so high, your muscle cells, as you're trudging up the hill in the last meter of the event, or you're in the 15th round of the boxing match, or whatever you're doing that triathlon, you're doing the 5K for cancer, whatever you're doing, that marathon, when you're running out, when you can't get enough oxygen in, it means your muscle cells are going, look, man, I got to contract. You're not giving me any oxygen. I'm going to do it without oxygen. I'm going to go anaerobic. I'm going to figure out a way to contract in the absence of oxygen. And what they do then is go into anaerobic, without oxygen, glycolysis. Guess what? That is not efficient. You know it's not efficient. That's why you're screaming in pain as you go up that hill for the last meter. You make so much lactic acid byproduct. That by the time you don't get any oxygen, you make so much lactic acid that the next day you're sore. But did you know that lactic acid is being utilized to make energy for the cell? The lactic acid that's produced when you don't have enough oxygen in your soreness. That lactic acid is actually utilized to make ATP. So you can make ATP the right way, and then you just feel great, like you can just trudge along. Or you can be oxygen deficient, and before your legs stop working and you fall down and you can't do anything, or that weight you're hanging over your head collapses and you're stuck under the weight, before that happens, your body has a safeguard. It makes ATP from the lactic acid, from lactate. One problem with that, it is not efficient. It's not an efficient process. You don't get a lot for a little bit. Now you get a little bit for a lot. So I'll use the athlete, I think, is the best example. Optimally speaking, when that athlete is trained, there's lots of glucose around and there's lots of and there's lots of oxygen, and your lungs and your heart can get the oxygen to the cell fast enough, and your iron's up, and all these systems are working great, and you can just keep making the ATP, which means you can keep putting out the pump. You can keep lifting the weight. You can keep running the marathon. But in oxygen deficiency, or glucose deficiency too, either way, just before you fail, your body will take, it'll take lactate, and it'll take it, and it will convert that to ATP. That's called anaerobic glycolysis. And that is not efficient. So if you're a poorly trained athlete and you're heeing and you're hawing, well, you're still going, but you're not contracting with power. You're obviously lagging. You're in a lot of trouble. You didn't pass out. You might finish the fight. You might finish the marathon. You might finish the football game. But you're not going to do it strong, because anaerobic glycolysis is inefficient. So we have efficiency, a little for a lot, and we have inefficiency. Anaerobic glycolysis is inefficient. Okay, good. Take a breath, relax, stretch it out. Take a sip of water. You're doing great, and we're only a few minutes into the show. Now we're going to get interesting. Cancer cells do something really strange. Cancer cells do something super, super strange. And what cancer cells do that's super, super strange is called the Warburg effect, after a guy named Dr. Otto Warburg, who won the Nobel Prize, not for cancer, nor did he discover the cause of cancer. This guy and his contribution, which are across the gamut, much of which had nothing to do with cancer, was a genius, a researcher, and he has been torn apart by the holistic community. If you look up Otto Warburg, they have extrapolated out of what he said into nonsensical dimensions. And this is what I can't stand about holistic medicine. It really bothers me. And it should bother you, because you get ripped off when holistic people come into the game and take some hard science like the Warburg effect and twist it into what they want it to say. And usually at the end of it is more profit for the people that sell supplements and the rest of it. And I don't mind that as much as what I do mind is then you never learn what it's really about. And this is one of the main things about my show. Holistic medicine works. Holistic medicine has incredible contribution. But when you start twisting around science, extrapolating out of it, and giving people who don't want to really be compliant, who may not want to get educated, and just going along the bandwagon because the public wants quick and easy holistically, and twisting hard science, we all lose in the long run. You're John Q. Public. And when you start believing certain aberrations of science as holistic, in the end, it it's bitter because you don't get the result. And then you've got the entire institution of allopathy, of standard conventional medicine going, you see, we told you so. We told you it wouldn't work. We told you it doesn't work. We told you it's quackery. Every family, every single family, correct me if I'm wrong, that has to deal with a member with serious disease splits. They split. They do it all the time. They split into the holistic faction and the allopathic faction. And the two are fighting with each other. The allopaths are always blaming holistic medicine. Holistic medicine's always blaming the allopaths. This needs to end. There's only one science. Science. And if you're holistic perverting science, that's not science. And if you're allopathic perverting science, that's not science. So let's take a look at what we're talking about now. Otto Warburg. We'll get to him more later. He introduced a term called aerobic glycolysis. Aerobic glycolysis. Now, let's understand something. We said that there was aerobic, we're going to call it oxidation. That's the healthy thing. Aerobic oxidation, I should call it. That's the good thing when the athlete's trained. Aerobic oxidation, pyruvate, citric acid cycle, oxidative phosphorylation, very efficient. Aerobic oxidation. Then I said there's anaerobic glycolysis. Anaerobic meaning the inefficient one. Cancer is interesting. Cancer does the inefficient one. Cancer does the pyruvate into lactate. The pyruvate into alcohol, which is inefficient, but it's in the presence of oxygen. It's as if you had all the glucose and all the oxygen you needed, and instead of going aerobic, you went anaerobic. Cancer cells do the inefficient glycolytic cycle. So if you can, go to picture number 12. Go to picture number 12. Picture 12, aerobic oxidation. That's the athlete that trains with a pyruvate, produces tons of ATP. Then you run out of oxygen, and that's when you're heeing and hawing, and it's inefficient, and you don't make a lot of ATP, and you perform poorly. That's anaerobic glycolysis. Or lactic acid fermentation. Now, cancer's funny. What cancer does is what you call aerobic glycolysis. It simply means cancer takes, in the presence of oxygen, cancer takes in the presence of glucose, and instead of doing that little input high yield, it does the low yield mechanism. And we call that the Warburg effect. Go to picture 21. The Warburg effect. In the presence of oxygen, normal tissue metabolizes glucose to pyruvate and then sends that to oxidative phosphorylation. This is picture 21. Just listen if you're driving. That's the normal thing. But here's what Otto Warburg discovered. It's called the Warburg effect. Otto Warburg observed that cancer cells take the glucose and make lactate out of it, regardless of whether oxygen was present. Cancer cells do what's called aerobic glycolysis, not aerobic oxidation, not anaerobic glycolysis. Cancer cells convert most of the glucose to lactate, even if oxygen's present. It's like the cancer cells don't want to use the oxygen. It's like the cancer cells want to be inefficient. They don't want to produce a lot of ATP. Now, that's called the Warburg effect, and Otto Warburg discovered it, and it was an anomaly. It was a curious thing about a cancer cell. Why would a cancer cell, in that it had enough oxygen, convert to an inefficient ATP production? You know, cancer, it's growing. It's a tumor. It's going to move fast. It's invading, spreading. Why would it pick that lactose, that lactate to ATP? Why would it ferment its way to ATP? Why would it do what an athlete's doing to produce ATP when an athlete is tired? That's a very inefficient process. This is called the Warburg effect. That's what Warburg discovered. He didn't win the Nobel Prize for that. He didn't win the Nobel Prize for cancer. These are all myths about Warburg. We're going to get to that later if we have time. He did many things. He was a genius. He certainly deserved a Nobel Prize. But as it relates to Warburg and his statement, the discovery, it's that cancer does a form of glycolysis, of conversion of sugar to ATP, that's very inefficient. And why would cancer do that? That was the question. Well, we observe this to be true, and we suspect the answer. Click to the view full article. So go to the top of the page. Go to the top of the page, and I put three articles there. And again, if you're driving, get to my website at some point, straighttalk.cc. Straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc, and that's Straight Talk with two T's. But for those of you who can, go to this article I put on. It's a free article. You just have to know how to look. And it's on something called the Warburg effect. Again, it's trying to explain why cancer chooses an inefficient way to metabolize. Cancer, which is an energy producer, which is a food hog, which can move very quickly, it makes a weird choice. Unlike the healthy choice. The healthy choice, and this is how you get your review, is you take the sugar in, convert it to pyruvate, take the pyruvate, pump out ATP, and lots of it for a little bit of sugar. But cancer does what the athlete does that's staggering up a hill. Cancer ends up taking the sugar and producing lactate. And once it produces lactate, it makes ATP, but you get no return on your dollar. Why is that? That's what this article is about. Understanding the Warburg effect. And this is going to go to why you should not eat sugar. It's going to go to why, if you have cancer, off the Warburg effect, it bequeaths you, it behooves you, it obliges you. Whatever you're doing, whether you're going to get chemo, whether you're going to get surgery, no matter what you're doing, bring your blood sugar down, because it makes a big difference. It will make a big difference. And off the Warburg effect, the real Warburg effect, not the extrapolations that have come out of it that I'll get into today, but out of the real Warburg effect, you are backed by hard science. And again, this is where people get weak, because they know, all these consumers, you're a consumer, all you consumers know that half of what you listen to in holistic medicine is baloney. You know it. And it is. But the other half is manna from heaven. It's foundations for your resurrection. It's good stuff. It works, but you don't know what's what. And you're not going to trust somebody. You're not going to listen to somebody and just believe them. You're not going to do that any more than you're going to give your money to somebody and just let them invest it blindly. You won't. And you don't. And I see that. And everyone that's worth their salt in this field knows what I'm saying is true. So what's the solution? You have to have enough basic education. So you have to trust yourself. You have the intelligence. You have the willpower. I can tell you after 25 years with science, the problem with science is it's given to you in these unnecessarily complicated fashions, taught by people who write textbooks who couldn't really care too much about explaining the real concepts to you. That's just human laziness. It's just the way it works. People that write for the National Institute of Health, people who publish articles, are publishing articles for other scientists to read, and they're in their own world. They're not writing the articles for you. And truth is, when your professors are writing textbooks, well, they kind of care that you, the student, understand, but they really kind of don't. When professors publish textbooks, it's for their own prestige. And half the stuff that's written is just given off to grad students anyway. And the grad students are trying to get through school, and the professors are just trying to add credits. The professors are just trying to add to the prospect of tenure. And the net effect is you're John Q. Public, and you're looking to understand. Or you're a John Q. student, and you're looking to understand. And collectively, what that means is you can understand because nobody took the time to make it clear. Now, a great textbook makes it clear. A great teacher makes it clear. And so what's happened is you've copped this attitude that it's too complicated for you, and it's not. As long as you have fun with it. So you get on my website, straighttalk.cc, and you look at understanding the Warburg effect. I'm going to spend a few minutes just gliding through it to give you the guts of it. Abstract. Scroll down to abstract. In contrast to normal cells, which rely primarily on mitochondrial oxidative phosphorylation to generate energy. There, that's the optimal thing. Most cancer cells rely instead on aerobic glycolysis, a phenomenon termed the Warburg effect. Now, there it is. Now, what they're saying in the abstract and what this is all about is trying to explain to you very simply, go back down to the bottom of the abstract. I underlined it. So we're on abstract, just to the bottom of abstract, where it says, cancer-associated mutations. This is right in the abstract where they lay out the intention of the article. Cancer-associated mutations enable cancer cells to acquire and metabolize nutrients in a manner, here's the key, conducive to proliferation rather than efficient ATP production. What it's saying in a nutshell is cancer forfeits the normal glycolytic process. Cancer forfeits the normal glycolytic process because it wants to grow in size. It wants to increase its biomass. It'll sacrifice ATP production for size. The beast we call cancer focuses on proliferation rather than efficient ATP production. That's what Warburg hadn't figured out. Warburg published in the 20s. Believe me, that's 85, 86 years ago. With the technologies now, we have a whole different slant on this guy that published and made us aware of the Warburg effect, we have a whole different understanding. We have a deeper understanding. Here's one of a bunch of articles telling you that the mystery solved. Cancer, which couldn't care less, we think, about oxygen, really doesn't need oxygen to have efficient ATP production. It forfeits that because it's figured out of certain mutations that it just wants to grow fat. It sacrifices energy efficiency for fatness. And that's not good for us, meaning you, meaning anyone with cancer and anyone in a tumor. Now, that's what the Warburg effect means. So now you're really understanding. And I hope to get to it today, but off this Warburg effect are extrapolations that are complete nonsense. And I don't want to harp on it again. But this is, strictly speaking, hard science, the Warburg effect. Now, let's move with that on solid ground. So if you scroll down and keep scrolling, up in the upper right-hand corner of each page, I put the numbers. So you're scrolling past page 2. Actually, you're scrolling to page 2. Go halfway down page 2, where I wrote in little marks on the side, down arrow ATP, upsize, page 2. Question in the article, why do proliferating cells switch to a less efficient metabolism? Well, we just kind of went into that. We just kind of said they don't focus as much on ATP production, cancer cells, as they do stuffing their face with nutrients. And what nutrient do you think cancer needs to stuff its face with? Glucose. It sucks up glucose at many times the rate of a normal cell. It becomes a glucose hog. Your cell asks for one molecule of glucose, and what does it get for one molecule of glucose? What does it get? It gets 36 or 38 ATP. A cancer cell puts that glucose molecule into an inefficient metabolism, in an inefficient metabolism. And what does it get for one molecule of glucose? I think two molecules of ATP. Its efficiency is garbage. So what does it do? It sucks up tons of glucose. Now there. Even this article is going to talk about it. There is a mutable, unequivocal argument. Whether you're under holistic care or allopathic care, if you have been diagnosed with cancer, if you're growing a tumor, bring your blood sugar down. I did not say do holistic medicine. I did not say don't listen to your oncologist. I did not say don't get the tumor cut out. I did not say don't do chemo. I did not say any of those things. I said that one of the mitigating factors on hard science, on the rock of hard science, to reduce the rate at which the tumor grows is to bring your blood sugar down. And that is off the Warburg effect. Now that's hard. Well, even this article is going to go and conclude the same thing. And this article was not written by nutritionists. This article doesn't have a slant. This article is just trying to understand what cancer is about. And when articles don't have motive, are telling you, well, it's real clear that it makes a lot of sense to do it this way, that's an article you should listen to, but you have to have the basic education. That's why any of you with anything should be all over these shows. Because it's one of the few shows on radio that postures to you in a way that asks you to do what a lot of people understandably don't want to do, and that is dig deeper. big payoffs if you dig deeper. You got to look at it just like you look at how you invest your money. You wouldn't invest your money blindly. Would you invest time, money, and energy into your health? Because the therapist at the local vitamin shop says, do this. You wouldn't. And you shouldn't. Now watch this. Let's keep scrolling. Page 2. Let's go down to page 3. Let's keep scrolling to page 4. I love this. Page 4. Go halfway down. You'll see my markings there. Page 4 of this article, The Wahlberg Effect. Possibly the dumping of excess carbon as lactate is effective because it allows faster incorporation of carbon into the biomass. Carbon is the atom upon which organic life is built. And this article is just suggesting that maybe the reason we use lactate inefficiently is because you can put more atoms of carbon into the tumor, which means you can facilitate cell division. You could grow the tumor faster. Just a little caveat. Some of you might. Picture number, page 5. Let's go to page 6. Now look at this. This is gold. This is, for me, my most exciting set of moments and why I talk to you. Look at this. Look at this. I put big statement. So you're halfway down page 6 on the article. It asks you, what triggers the switch from oxidative phosphorylation to aerobic glycolysis? So what triggers the switch from the efficient AT producer to the inefficient one? One proposed explanation for Wahlberg's observation is tumor hypoxia selects for cells dependent on anaerobic metabolism. It's trying to say that the reason for the Wahlberg effect is not enough oxygen. But it's arguing that, and this is big. It's saying cancer cells appear to use glycolytic metabolism before exposure to hypoxic conditions. Okay, take a moment. It's simply saying that all this stuff about cancer and an oxygen deficient environment, and that a cell in an oxygen deficient or cancer in an oxygen deficient environment is going to go into this faulty metabolism. All this about how cancer in an oxygen deficient environment is going to go to a faulty metabolism is being argued here. It's why I put big statement. It's saying that cancer cells go into this faulty metabolism long before they're in oxygen deficiency. It's saying cancer cells don't necessarily live in oxygen deficiency. It's saying cancer cells just look at oxygen like, we don't want to use you. Not like we wish, or not like we're protected in the absence of oxygen. It's arguing that cancer cells couldn't care less. Oxygen, no oxygen. Our choice as a cancer cell has nothing to do with whether there's oxygen or no oxygen there. We're going to go into a lactate metabolism with or without oxygen. We couldn't care less about oxygen. Do you understand the significance of that? The significance of that is that it argues against all this extrapolation off Wahlberg stating that oxygen can't live in a low, that cancer can't live in a low oxygen environment. Go back and read that for yourself. See if you can get the meaning of that. If you go all the way now to the page 7, it's the end of this article. There's something you got to take to the bank. And here's the whole crux of today's show. In an article on the Wahlberg effect, where I put take to the bank, a better understanding of how the whole body metabolism interacts with tumor metabolism may better define these risks and identify potential points of therapeutic intervention. In addition, it is possible that cachexia associated with many cancers is exacerbated by excess nutrient consumption by the tumor, which would affect the whole body metabolic regulation. To this end, and this is it, and this is the purpose of this article, and this is the purpose of really understanding the Warburg effect and what to do. To this end, the potential role of dietary supplements, and here's the word, tight glucose control as adjuncts to cancer treatment. Tight glucose control as adjuncts to cancer treatment. Tight glucose control as adjuncts to cancer treatment is an active field of investigation. Off that, pharmaceutical companies will design drugs to regulate glucose. When in fact, if you understand the logic, it's telling you, if there's one thing you can bank on, if you deny a tumor, it's glucose. Forget about oxygen. That was an extrapolation. If you deny a tumor, it's glucose, you're going to starve it, because it lives off glucose to maintain itself and its size and its cell cycle. Now, if you take that into yourself, you can act. There's another one, and we're going to go into this next week. And that other one is the role of the nervous system in cancer metastasis. Check that article out yourself. It's about how the sympathetic division of the nervous system is what cancer needs to grow. Too much glucose, sympathetic dominance, cancer. If you want to stand on a rock, regulate the autonomics and get rid of the sugar. And that's the first step to defending yourself against cancer. Now, that's the hard science. All right. Happy Thanksgiving to those of you lost in the labyrinth of what too often is holistic nonsense. Looking for hard foundation. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.